star and the scepter. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. Numbers 24 and verse 17. One of the strangest characters in the Bible is Balaam. He is made to speak some of the sweetest prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord's Messiah. But these things did not come from his heart, nor did they arise from spiritual affection. In this man, we see some of the deep workings of the human soul. How a person can be affected by the Word of God and the happiness of God's people, yet still take the downward road to hell's dark pit. Now, first of all, we look at Balaam's hire. The hire of Balaam came about by the distress of Balak, king of Moab, over the constant conquests of Israel. And Balaam was a Mesopotamian soothsayer who, living in close proximity to Israel, had learned to speak their spiritual language about God. He thus could wear a holy guise over a graceless heart. At first he gives the impression of really wanting to know God's mind. God's answer to his seeking is clear and plain. Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Chapter 22, verse 12. But he does not dismiss the representative from the king of Moab. They return again and again, and both Balaam and the princes lessen the effect of each other's words until God is left out of the deal altogether. Balaam's eye is upon the costly bribe of Balak. When he rises early to go with the men, a dumb ass is made to speak to block his way. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. 2 Peter 2:16. But the love of reward drives him on. So the tale goes on until both Balaam and Balak are thwarted. God put words into Balaam's mouth, which are some of the sweetest words concerning the first coming and the second coming of Messiah. And thus Christ is set forth even by a soul dead in his sins, and most certainly an instrument of unrighteousness. But God makes him a vessel of dishonor to speak the truth. Said Balaam, I shall see him, but not now. Meaning that one should descend from Israel, a famous and excellent person, who is no other than Messiah, as it appears from what follows. Him he was to see, not spiritually with an eye of faith, nor corporally with his bodily eyes. In our Lord's state of incarnation, but rather at the judgment day. And now he did, indeed, he saw him by the spirit of prophecy. I shall behold him, but not nigh. That is, that the coming of this illustrious person, the Messiah, was not near at that time. Therefore, Balak, who had hired him, had no reason to indulge in present fears. And that when, and also he meant when this illustrious one comes in judgment, Balaam would have no nearness to him, nor interest in him. He would see him at the last day, but not for his own good. Now, he said, first of all, we look at the star of Jacob. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Now, could any word of prophecy be more sweet and comforting? Could any words glow with greater brightness? It means that in the background this world is sunk in darkness, heathenish gloom. All is the blackness and darkness of a godless world, a world in which all the excellences and beauties of God's character are utterly unknown, and where the realities of his grace and love and truth are unseen. This is a jungle world, where because of the darkness, evil beasts creep abroad and prowl to vex the sons of men and tear them to pieces. It's a world black with spots and blemishes and many infirmities. But into this black night of man's awful sinning, the promised Savior is to come. He is to appear as the star of Jacob. There shall come a star out of Jacob. This is, of course, principally spoken of Christ, although in its first meaning, perhaps, of David, who would be a type of Christ. But the full and complete fulfillment of this would only be in Christ. The star is one of our Lord's titles. He is the morning star. He is the bright and morning star. And he is called the star for his glory and splendor and brightness and the influence of his grace and the blessings of that grace upon the sons of men. The star is to be considered as a sign of his first coming. You remember in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men were directed by a star, the sign of Messiah's birth. And Balaam not only calls him a star, but also that a scepter shall arise from Israel. Now, the scepter points to royalty. The Lord Jesus Christ not only has the name of a king, but has a kingdom, both of nature, providence, and grace, mercy, and righteousness. The scepter means his rule, to be fulfilled in Christ when he shall come the second time and put down all rule and authority, and all will be subject to him. That is why it goes on to tell us that he will smite the corners of Moab, the mighty men of Moab. That is by subduing his enemies, signified by the Moabites as being enemies of Israel, type of all anti-Christian nations, that when Christ comes the second time, he will wind up all the kingdoms of darkness and subdue them. So, the star, first of all, is a glittering orb set in the canopy of universal darkness. It sparkles in the gloom. It sends forth its cheering light into the pall enveloping the earth, such is Jesus our Lord. Oh, what loveliness there is in him. He who is over all, God blessed forever, has become visible to the sons of men and has shone into our black night as the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. Hebrews 1 and 3. Light from heaven shines in the star of Jacob. All that God is manifest in him. What brightness shines when he appears. What loveliness is spread upon the soul when it perceives the star of heavenly light. Then notice him as the scepter of Israel. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. There is a mystic union, you see, between the star and the scepter. He who first came to shine as light into our darkness and bring with him a cheering ray of hope in a hopeless world comes also to reign and rule in the hearts which he conquers. They lay down their arms of rebellion and acknowledge that he is the Lord. In this generation, the kingdom of heaven is within you. That is, Our Lord has a spiritual and beneficent rule in the hearts of his redeemed ones. There is no peace with him until he sits upon the throne of the heart. There can be no love until he is loved as the Savior of our souls and the ruling King on the throne of our affections. But more, he is the scepter which hath smited this rebellious world until the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. This is what is meant by the word. He shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Numbers 24 and verse 17. Sheth, evidently an ancient king of Moab. The wicked are to be overthrown by him at his appearing. They are to lie down in sorrow. They are to be destroyed. Alas for those who have to say with Balaam, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near, but not nigh. The wicked are to see him come in power and glory. When he calls his ransomed one, the wicked are to stand afar off. How sad the world, not nigh. When the scepter rules over the Father's vast dominion, his elect bride, the company of the redeemed, will be at his side to share his governmental authority and rule. This is the completion of believers' prayers and joy. They shall have nothing more to ask for. No more, indeed, could they want. Oh, all hail, thou star of Jacob. Make haste, make haste. Oh, thou scepter of Israel. Now will you hear the words of Mr. John Dacworth? Hail, thou once despised Jesus. Hail, thou once, thou still rejected King. Thou didst suffer to release us. Thou didst free salvation bring. Through thy death and resurrection, bearer of our sin and shame, we enjoy divine protection, life and glory through thy name. Paschal Lamb, by God appointed, all our sins on thee were laid. By our Father's love anointed, thou hast full atonement made. All who trust thee are forgiven through the virtue of thy blood. Rent in thee the veil of heaven. Grace shines forth to man from God. Saviour, hail, amid the glory, where for us thou dost abide. We by faith do now adore thee, seated at thy Father's side. There for us thou now art pleading, while thou dost our place prepare, for thy saints still interceding, till in glory we appear. Worship, honor, praise and blessing, thou shalt then from all receive, loudest praises without ceasing, all that earth or heaven can give. In that day, thy saints will meet thee, welcome thee with grateful songs. Joyful hearts will ever greet thee, source of joy to all the throng. Amen. And amen.